Amen, amen. It's good worship. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, the worship team. Jacob was worshiping so good that he broke his string. He was strumming hard. It was good. It was good. We are so glad that you are here, and I'm telling you, you have come on a great and fantastic day. You know why? Because we're launching a brand new series, and last week, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and it's always amazing to see all of the smiling faces that come in on Easter, and we saw people give their lives to Christ, which we never want to get tired of that, of seeing people's eternity change forever. Today, we're celebrating baptism, so I would encourage you to stick around a few minutes after service. We're going to go right outside and celebrate with the faith step and the baptism, so that's something we never want to get tired of. Amen? That is good, good stuff that God is continuing to move. But like I said earlier today, today's a great day to be here because we're launching a brand new series. And in your seats, there are some of the flyers there. And each week, we're tackling a question that helps our everyday walk with Christ. And so we're going to get really practical, really into the nitty-gritty of what it looks like. Today, we're answering the question, how do I better understand the Bible? How do I better understand the Bible? And next week, how do I know God's will for my life? We're wrestling with some of those questions that we all ask. And so today, I want you to pretend, you with me, leaning in here? I want you to pretend that you and I are sitting at a coffee shop, because I love coffee, and we're sitting down and we're having a conversation and we're asking each other these questions. And so I'm hoping this feels more like a conversation. You may not see me get as preachy, you know, up here, let's go, right? But we're understanding of what this looks like and how this impacts our everyday life, because I truly believe that every single person in this room, every single person, that God has a plan, but not only that, that He wants to experience a relationship with you and I every single day, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday, that we can experience Him in that way. And one of the ways we do that, and primary ways that we do that, is through the Word and through the Bible. And so I want to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts, and then we're going to jump right in. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you have your Bibles or iPads or phones, we're going to put it on the screens for you as well, and then we're going to jump right in, because I have a lot of notes today, okay? So all my note takers, this is your day right here. Or if you want to take a picture of the screen, you can do that as well. But I just hope that this equips you, encourages you to go, okay, I can better understand the Bible after today. And so let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, your truth, your power. Thank you so much that we get to worship and that this is not a performance and we can still worship you with broken strings and whatever that may look like, God, because you are the object of our worship. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I know that there are a lot of people in this room that are carrying a lot of different things. And I pray over the next few moments, you can just take those off of their shoulders, God, and we would lay that at your feet. I pray for rest, I pray for peace, I pray for grace, I pray for mercy. And God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase and that you would speak to our hearts. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And so when we talk about that question, how do I better understand the Bible? I can remember giving my life to Christ. I was, 17, 18 years old, and there was a lot of different ways to start, right? You could take the method where you just kind of walk up and go, what do I want to read today? And just let the Bible flop open and read that verse and go, I'm going to do what that verse says. But you may get to a verse like in Leviticus that says, if a man's hair falls out of his head, he is bald. He is clean. Right? And you're like, okay, how does that make sense? Right? Like, how does Jeff's like, yes, that is a good verse. I like that verse. Yeah. But you get to verses like that and you read them and you go, wow, okay, I'm glad I started reading the Bible. Like, what does that mean? How does that apply to my life? How does that work in my context? All of those different aspects, right? And I also, one of the things for you and I is, I want to give us two things that are very practical that really help us to go, okay, I can actually do this. And then we're going to use the acronym HEAR, H-E-A-R, HEAR, to really go, okay, how do I walk, if I'm reading Scripture, how do I walk through it so I can better understand that? But in order for us to get there, I want us to understand what the Bible is and what the purpose of the Bible is. And so when you and I open up these pages, yes, even the Leviticus verses, right? As we open up these pages, it is God speaking to us. It is a direct revelation of who God is. And here at the Bridge Church, we believe all the way from Genesis to Revelation that it is all inspired by God, that it's His words to us. But I think if we're honest with each other, sometimes we read some verses and go, whew, what does that mean? I don't even know what that. How did that play out? How does this work, right? But so if we understand how to read the Bible better, God will use it to radically shape and change our lives and mold us into His image. And so as we look at 2 Timothy verse 3:16, this is an incredible verse, and it's very impactful. It's one of the first verses that I memorized because it's so impactful. And it says this, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." These are just two verses, and there's so much packed in. And we're actually going to use this verse throughout the message. But for us to understand that all Scripture, every single verse in here, is from God, the breath of God. And we see that God uses it every step of the way. And we can all the way read from Genesis to Revelation, every piece that God uses it. But with that being said, again, I remember giving my life to Christ, starting out my relationship with Jesus, and wanting to read the Bible for the first time. And I had someone give me a Bible, and the translation they gave me, I remember opening it up and starting to read this particular translation. And I read two verses, and I went like this. Right, I was like, I cannot understand this. I need a dictionary for this particular translation of the Bible. So for you and I, the first thing that I think would really help us to understand what this looks like is for you and I to find a translation that we can understand. Find a translation that we can understand as we open up God's Word. And I'll tell you what I use on a regular basis, but I don't want you to feel like you have to use that particular translation. And in fact, you can find a million different things online about all the other translations, right? And a ton of different opinions. And just for a roundabout understanding of what the translations look like, is that there are different avenues of translations. And so you and I, we have a word for word translation that we see, which is like the ESV or NASB or KJV or New King James Version. And if you've noticed, whenever you've read those are still a little clunky in the English language, right? When you read them, you may still see a shall in there or word structure or sentence structure that doesn't 100% fit our English language in this day. It's because they've taken the words and they're trying to translate the word for word. And so you may get a word that's a little bit more pure translation. But then you have ones that are a little easier to read for us. They're called thought for thought translations, like the NLT or CSB or NIV, right? You have those where they take the thought of the original language and they translate the entire thought and they put it in our language, which we can understand. Then you have like a paraphrase type translation of the Message or Passion or something like that, translation Bible, and they take the overall thought, maybe a whole paragraph in Scripture, and they take that and they break it down to where we can really understand it. And you can use each category, each translation, to get further in our walk with Christ, because you and I, we know that the Bible wasn't originally written in English, right? So it was written Old Testament in Hebrew and Aramaic, and then the New Testament mainly Greek. We see that. And so we know that the English language even changes over time, right? I listen to my kids talk who are in middle school, and I don't even know what they're saying, right? They're like, this kid has Riz. I don't even know what Riz is. You know, like all of these, because the language changes, right? And so we read verses and we use those translations, but most of the time, as long as we go back to the original language and they're translating some of that, it helps us to better understand it and better understand where we're walking with Christ. Now, most of the time, I'll preach from ESV. If you look on the screens, I usually don't even put the translation up there, but you can read the verses in ESV. Also use New Living Translation a lot. So I feel like it's a really great translation. If you were to come to me in the Connect Center after church and say, hey, I'm just starting reading the Bible, what translation should I get? I'd probably tell you New Living Translation. You should grab that study Bible, and it'll really encourage you, really help you along the way. Another thing that you and I should do is, so finding a translation that we can understand, right? Open it up and really understand what that looks like for you and I. And the different translations have different opportunities for you and I as we study God's Word. And then the next best thing for you and I to do is to find a time and a place to study God's Word, a time and a place to study God's Word, because I don't know about you, but my calendar fills up pretty quick, right? It fills up pretty quick. A lot of different things going on, and never in my life have I accidentally dove into God's Word, right? I didn't just trip and fall and like, ooh, look at this. I got a free 2 hours. Here we go. Let's study God's Word, right? No, I have to be very intentional. We have to mark out that time, almost set the priorities up to go, you know what? I have 30 minutes today. This is what I'm going to do. I'll find a time and a place that works for you. For me, I'm a morning person. I love mornings. And if I can get that in the morning, I would encourage everyone to at least read a verse or something to reset and reprogram our minds right there in the morning. But another thing that may be helpful, I remember my wife, there was a season where most of her study was in the car rider line, right? For 30 minutes. That was the time where she had alone and can read that during that time. And for you, it could be your lunch break out of work. It could be in the evening, whatever it may be. But knowing, okay, this is my time. This is my place. And being intentional with what that looks like. And so as I talk about those two kind of preliminary things, right, the problem with a message like this that I have to wrestle with as a communicator or as a pastor is that there's going to be some people in the room that hear what I talk about today, and you're going to leave and go, oh, I wish we would have went deeper. I wish we would have dug in a little bit more. And then there's going to be some of you that leave the room today or listen online, and you're going to leave today and go, oh, I wish you would have broken that down even further, right? And so finding that. So the strategy today is that we're going to start kind of at the surface level, like what we just talked about, and we're going to keep getting deeper, keep getting deeper, keep getting deeper as the message goes on. And that way, wherever you are in your walk with Christ, you're going, okay, this is what I needed. If we get here, okay, this is what I needed. This is what I needed as we go further and further. That way, everybody has a notch that they can stand on to go, okay, this is where I am. And this is where I want to dig in more of how God wants to use this in a powerful way. Because I believe if you and I will lean into God's Word, we can experience Him every single day, that He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you and direct you every step of the way. And so for you and I, we are left with the question, okay, I got the translation I want. I got my time. I got my place. Now I'm going to open up this Word, and it's game time, right? I have to understand and pick this thing apart. What should I do? How, what filters, what questions should I ask myself? And so when we and I begin to read this, we think through the lens of here. And that's just a quick, easy, quick way for us to remember here. And the first one that I'd love for you to write down is the H is help, right? Help! Maybe you've heard that yell before. Maybe you've yelled it today. Help! I need help, right? And for you and I to start off our time, our study with God, with asking God for help. Asking Him for spiritual wisdom and understanding. I want to give you this verse here in 2 Timothy 2:7. It says, think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's praying for the church. And this is what he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe in according to the work of His great might? The Apostle Paul is praying for you, and he's praying for me. He's praying for the Ephesians church, and he's saying, God, give them a spirit of understanding. Help them to have this revelation of who You are and this understanding of what God is doing in us. And so we take a moment to say, God, I need Your help. Will You give me spiritual wisdom? Will You give me understanding? One of the first things I do is I open up God's Word. I say, God, can You help me? Can You give me spiritual wisdom? Can You help me to understand this? And the Holy Spirit works with our spirit and begins to reveal the truth of who God is through His Scripture. Because the Bible is a direct revelation of who God is. And we get to experience Him every single day in that. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us as believers and works with us in that relational aspect. And God begins to use His Word to reveal those truths to us and allow it to work and apply with your life and my life, right? And then, so that's the first one, H is help. And the next one is the E, examine. And this is where we start to really start to dig here. Because as we read the Bible, we need to examine it. because we may pick and read a particular verse, and when you read a particular verse, you're going to quickly realize in the Bible that it was written in a different context than where we live in America today, right? You're reading stories of going, I've never planted a seed before in my life. I've never farmed. I don't have any sheep. So you're talking about the sheep and these different aspects, right? And so as you read Scripture, you're going, okay, this is a different context than where I live today. And so we have to ask ourselves the question when we read Scripture, what is the context? And as you and I consider that, we have to look at the context of what that culture was like to help understand how we can apply it to our culture. And not only that, we began to look at the Bible in that verse in the particular context. For instance, if I'm reading 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, I have to understand that verse in the whole chapter of chapter 3. And then I can understand it in the whole book of 2 Timothy, right? And if I understand that, it's going to give me more insight to what I'm reading. And so just for an example, let's use 2 Timothy 3:16 together. Everybody still good? Do I need to walk the aisles? I can. I got my little... Anyway, 2 Timothy 3:16. And what helps us to fully grasp this a little bit is to understand that 2 Timothy is a letter written to... Who do you think? Timothy, that's right. You guys are so smart, right? Like, it's a letter written to Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son. And did you know that 2 Timothy is the last book that the Apostle Paul writes? And the Apostle Paul is in prison awaiting his trial where he's eventually going to give his life for the gospel. And so this is some of his last words, and he's writing it to somebody he has poured his life into. Many people believe that Timothy would have given his life in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So he's seen Timothy's life change all around. And now Timothy is ministering himself. He's preaching and teaching and leading groups and all of these different aspects. And so Paul is writing to him some of his last words. And what are some of his last words? He goes, Timothy, don't you forget that all Scripture is God-breathed. Don't you forget this. All Scripture is God-breathed. And it is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. And then he says, look, it's going to equip you. Not only is it going to equip you, but God's going to use you and my word to equip the people that you are teaching. See, now the context, it just added some weight to what we were reading, right? Of going, wow, okay. If the Apostle Paul was banking the end of his life on this message, it's like, okay, I need to lean in a little bit, right? I need to soak this in. I need to memorize this. I need to understand this because the context helps. It helps us to understand what that looks like, and we're able to do that. And you're able to find the context. There's other tools. Sometimes at the beginning of a book in the Bible, it'll give you a breakdown of what this book looks like, the introduction, who wrote it, who he was writing it to, all those different aspects. Or you can get a study Bible, and it'll give you some of that. There's tons of websites we can connect with you, free websites that you and I can use and to connect with that. And so also, the second question we want to ask, the first one in examine is, what is the context, right, of this, what it looks like? The second question and examine we want to ask is, what is the timeless truth? What is the timeless truth of this verse that we are reading? Because if I were to come down off the stage and sit next to 30 different people in this room, I may get 30 different things of what we all think this verse means, right? You could go, well, this verse means to me this. This verse means to me this. This verse means to me this, right? And the issue with that is now we have 30 different truths floating around about one particular verse. But the context will start to shape to go, okay, there's one timeless truth over this particular text that stands the test of time. And it was the original intent of this particular text. What was the original intent of the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy? And if I can get that, that's the timeless truth that I can cling to. That's the timeless truth that'll stand the test of time, right? And we can use that to allow it to dive deeper. Now, if you want to dive even deeper, I love this stuff. I could do it all day. I get excited about it. I'm like, ooh, new verse, let's study that, right? And so we begin to do that. We can dive even deeper. They call them word studies. where you can take that particular verse and go, okay, I'm going to find important words that are in this verse, and I'm going to start to look up some of the original meaning of what this word means. And all of a sudden, it adds another layer of what this looks like. They have websites for that, Bible study commentaries, all of that. We can do a word study, right? And the thing that you and I can use, one of the most powerful tools we have, is Scripture. Because Scripture interprets Scripture. And we may get like a cross-reference Bible where we read one verse and it'll go, hey, there's another verse that says something similar. I'll go read that one. You can read that one because Scripture interprets Scripture. And when we are trying to pull the timeless truth, we know that the Bible in context is one cohesive message, right? And so if I'm reading something, I know that I have interpreted it correctly when it fits in the Bible as a whole, because it's really easy to pull one verse and to pull it and to say what I want it to say, right? Just take, for instance, a very popular verse, Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we'll take that verse and we'll go, you know what? You know what that verse means? That means that I can be in the NBA. Here we go, right? Like, that means Daniel Kasnev is about to get drafted, right? Like, there's a 700-pound car out there. You know what? I'm getting ready to go lift it. And why? Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Like, I'm going to be the CEO and I'm going to get $1 million. You know why? Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? And it sounds good. You're like, yeah, I like that verse. Let me write that down. That's good, right? But we're pulling that verse out of context, right? Because I just pulled the one verse, and now I'm applying it to anything that I want. But if we read it in context, if I zoom out from that one verse and then look at the original intent of going, okay, what does this verse mean? And I read the verse before it, and the first few verses before that, the Apostle Paul is talking about contentment. He says, I have learned to be content when I have a little and when I have much. And the way that I stay content with a little and the way that I stay content with much is when I have the strength of God that is dwelling and sustaining and giving me strength through every situation and every circumstance. He will give me strength to endure. He'll provide for me when I have nothing. He'll give me perspective when I have everything, right? And that's the context. Now it takes on a whole new meaning, right? And now when I go try out for the NBA, I'm not looking at God going, God, why? Why did you forsake me, right? Like, why did you not let this happen? Because God's going, I want you to fully understand what I'm trying to say to you. And that was the original context, the original intent for what that looks like. A couple of questions to help us examine during this time is, what does this say about God, right? What does this verse say about God? Because it's really easy to skip to me. You know, when I read Scripture, I see me all in it, right? But for me to stop to help train my brain to go, wait, first, what does this say about God? What does this tell me about who He is, His character, and His steadfast love, and how He interacts with us? What does this text tell me about God? And then we ask the question, what does this text say about people? What does this piece of Scripture say about me, about humanity, and how we interact with each other? And so, for example, let's use 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. As we read these verses, what this says about God is that God speaks to you and I, right? We see that He is a relational God that is not separated from you and I, who's standing away going, oh, you're on your own, you can do this. But the one thing I know about God is that He still speaks to us today. He is still alive and active, and we see that. And then also we see that the way that God equips us is primarily through His Scripture, right? And that's what He teaches. He says it's profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. And that's what it says as we begin to dive a little deeper into that. So the first thing we want to do is ask for help. And then we're starting to examine the text for you and I. And then this is where the part here, that this is the game changer right here. The examine, getting the, pulling the timeless truth is so good, but this next part, if we don't do this part, our spiritual growth will be stunted for the rest of our lives, right? It's kind of like when you walk up to the supermarket, and I know we have multiple generations in here. Do we have the generation in here that was here before the automatic doors came? You know, you like actually had to push the doors open, right, and use our own strength, but now we have the automatic doors, and you have to be careful with those automatic doors, because if you move too fast, it's going to catch your shoulder, right? Or something like that. Like, you got to time that thing right. And so as you move closer to the door, the doors begin to open. Well, you and I, when we interact with God's Word, It's like when we move in faith and act on faith, things begin to move inside of our life. God begins to use it to take us to a deeper relationship with Him, a deeper understanding of Him, because as James tells us, faith without works is what? Dead, right? He's saying, because if we truly have faith, then we're going to live in obedience to what God's Word says. So not only that, not only am I examining it, now how do I apply this to my life? Transformation happens when we apply God's Word, what God's Word says through Scripture. So how does this apply to me today? And if we look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, this is so good. I think I'm the only one having fun leaning in here, right? But 2 Timothy 3:16, as we look at this verse, it says this, that all Scripture is profitable for what? Teaching, which is, you know, we're understanding what is happening here, being breaking this down. I can teach the Word of God. Also for reproof, that's, hey, don't do that, right? Correction, yes, here you go, do this. We're going to correct you to this move right here. And then training in righteousness. Here is what is right. Here is what are the ways of God. And so when I apply that to my life, I can make that list. Okay, teaching, reproof, correction. All right, right? What do I need to say no to? What is God telling me no, that, hey, you don't need to be doing that? Or what do I need to start saying yes to? What do I need to lean more into, right? And then correction for righteousness. What are the ways of God that I need to start to apply in my life? Now as I read this verse, right, I can go, okay, I got four things I can focus on today. I can focus on this week. And I want to lean into what these look like. And then I begin to apply it and watch God move in a supernatural way because I'm applying it. And I think even a better question for you and I is, how do I reorient my life in accordance to what God's timeless truth says? Right, I'm not trying to pull that into my life and stuff the truth into me, but for me to go, you know what? No. How do I reorient my life to go, okay, God, you said this is right. You said this is true. So now I'm going to reorient my life to follow your will, to follow your truth. And now I'm being shaped by God and allowing my life to be molded for what He has for us. And we see God begin to move in incredible ways when we apply this and allow Him to move and work. And then I'm going to close with this last one here. So we got help, right? Help. If we were old school, I'd say turn to your neighbor and yell help, but we're not going to do that. Help, right? Examine. How am I going to examine God's Word? And then as we talk about the A, how am I applying this to my life? And then lastly, R, respond. How am I going to respond now that I know the timeless truth? How am I going to respond now that I have applied this to my life? Because you and I, we are made for community. And I would encourage all of us to read Scripture in community, right? Godly community, because I'm going to read a verse one day and I'm going to go, ooh, I'm not real sure about what this means. Let me go to my small group. Let me go to my godly friend and go, hey, have you read this verse before? Do you have any wisdom, any insight for this? Can you help me walk with me in this? Or, hey, I need to apply this to my life this week. Can you help hold me accountable? Can you ask me about this on Friday? Because I really want to dive into this. Because when we respond in community, God begins to use the church, use us walking together in a powerful way as He shapes and molds us in our life. And then, I want to tell you one of the best evangelism tactics that you have is an everyday experience with God. You and I have an opportunity to share what God is doing in our life every single day. Because when I open up His Word and I read 2 Timothy 3:16, and all of a sudden God starts to correct some things in me, and I start to see the fruits of the Spirit in my life, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Or I read Philippians 4:13, and you're like, ooh, I need some contentment in my life, right? I need God to give me strength in that. And then I go to work on Tuesday, and I begin to talk about it, right? I'm going, oh, I've had more contentment in my life. You know why? Because I have a relationship with God and I read this verse and He told me about this in my life and He began to do something in me. And I got to tell you, right? Because now I'm sharing with someone what God is transforming in my own life because I have a real and an active daily relationship with God and I'm experiencing Him every single day. And as I do that, He is molding and shaping me. And then I'm able to respond. I can share it with those who are around me and they're learning and they're seeing God on me and they're seeing how God interacts in all of these different aspects of our lives. And we see God use us because we're experiencing Him. And how amazing is it to know that you and I have a God that loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross. We just celebrated or looked at, reflected on Good Friday. And then Resurrection Sunday, died on the cross, rose again, and then gives us the Holy Spirit, that his divine presence and power in our lives to experience him on a daily basis. And he gives us the gift of his word that is inspired by him, the Holy Spirit, as all of these 40 different authors pen this, that we get to see it. And it gives us this opportunity to go, okay, God, how are you using this and molding and shaping this every step of the way? It's when I dive into God's word and he begins to use it. And I just want to read this again. And as we begin to speak and God begins to use it in a powerful way, I hope that we can apply these things to our life. That all scripture is God breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, or correction, or training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Did you know that God has good work planned for you? Every single person in this room, God has plans set out in front of you. And he is saying, because you may look at those plans and go, God can't use me. You don't know my past. You don't know what I'm going through right now. And God is going, I'll equip you. I'll equip you through my word, through the Holy Spirit, and I will give you what you need in order to get there. And it's an opportunity for us to apply these. And so I would encourage you to say, if you look at these four different steps, what do you want to lean into this week? Do I need to ask God for help? Do I need to examine the scripture? Now I have these questions I can use. How am I going to apply this in my life? Maybe I need to lean into that. I'm going to do what God's word says, or I'm going to respond. How am I going to share this with those who are around me? I need to start reading the Bible in community, whatever that looks like, because we begin to learn about what God is doing in our lives, and he molds us and he shapes us and he teaches us every step of the way. And so I want to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts here this morning as we can lean into it and experience him. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word, for your truth, and for your power. God, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that as we open up your word on a daily basis, God, that we'll be able to read and examine and apply and respond. God, I pray that you would bring revelation to our hearts. Help us to understand the Bible, because you're speaking to us through your word and through your truth. God, I pray that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. I pray that you would challenge us where we need to be challenged, that you would hold us accountable, that you would equip us, God, and that we would lean into every good work that you would have for us. And we believe in faith that we stand on your word as a church, and we'll be encouraged by your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
All my words fall short. I got